You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Hi, it's Malls. Reminder before the show to make sure that you are subscribed in Apple Podcasts. And if you're new, welcome to Please Advise Nation. Our show only works with your participation, so call 323-450-7408 with your dilemmas and life questions. Again, that's 323-450-7408 or email askpleaseadvise@gmail.com with your voice notes or emails. Thank you and enjoy. Hey everyone, it's Please Advise, episode 185. We did it, Christina.
Yay!
We have Dan Mario here today. How you doing?
Hey.
I just want to, like, first of all, let's just dive in, because we're already having such, like, a great groove and a vibe right now. I want to bring up something small that I want to know what you guys' opinion is on this.
I'm on pins and needles.
I have been hitting my foot every single fucking day in the same part of my bed, and it opens the wound every day. I know at this part, like, it's my problem now. I wasn't a one-time thing. This is now three times. I have to remedy the situation.
It's on the bed itself.
So, like, the bed is, like, has, like, a little, like, almost like a platform, like a little piece of wood that comes out between the mattress and is just kind of like a piece of, it's like a very, like, MCM fucking nature bitch bed. Yeah. That's, like, all made out of planks of wood, right? So there's a little, like, just ridge between, like,
it's like a platform between, like, where the bed is standing on and then where you put the mattress on.
Can you put a piece of fabric on it?
I kind of think I should, but but that would, like, fuck the whole look of it.
But maybe just for a bit.
Do they sell things for babies? Yeah. Like bumper cushions?
Absolutely. Yeah. I could put on there. Tape a roll of paper towels over it, but I feel like then that will just be like I'm self-correcting, like in a way that now I'm just going to want to hit my leg on that soft paper towel square every day.
So are you asking if you should get a new bed?
No, I'm asking if I should, like, if you think that it will mentally help me to move the bed 6 inches. If I need to.
I mean, I'm like exploding. Like, I want to ask you if you feel like you deserve that pain every day?
Like, no, I don't. I like fucking hate it. That's why I brought it up. If I felt I deserved it, that would have been my little secret. I would have carried that on. But I got summer shoes to wear, honey. I'm a big sandals person and I cannot have chopped and screwed feet. No. I literally put baby feet on anyway. Like do you know what baby feet is?
Brooke has that.
Yeah, it's incredible. Yeah. You just get to watch your skin peel off in large chunks for days.
It falls off in sheets.
Yeah, it falls in sheets and sheets and sheets of skin. It falls out in large clumps of skin. I love it. So I did it anyway, even though I had this open wound, because I was like, you know what, honey, we got to like talk. Like, I got to get aggressive about getting this off me. There's going to be some vitamin C oil in the mix. But my big question is just, do I start getting into bed in a different way? Do I start a new ritual? Because I'm not going to pacify myself like a fucking child by gluing a piece of, or like taping a piece of fabric to my end of my bed. That's like, I should just get rails for the sides, like, so I don't fall out.
I want you to put like a towel over it. I think that's an easy fix.
But what am I going to learn from that? Do you think
it's just gentle? It's a gentle correction. Like it's right. It's just ease into it. Just live with like.
I could put a heavy Pendleton at the end of the bed that'll look chic. I guess I'm disturbed about the look of a cloth thing like that because I really do. My bed is like my thing that I had a therapist tell me a long time ago that like when you really want to care about yourself, you get your bed right. And like that for me has been.
Would you say your room is just so?
My room is just so perf. Like it's just like it's not perf. Like it's not like it's literally a bedroom. It's a bed in a room and there's a TV on the wall and it's really small. And it's like a little hug. And I would say my bed is just so. Like I really care about my linens. I really, that was like when I was doing the KonMari Math and Honey, oof, the linens that left this house. Martha, my cleaning lady, has all new bed sets. I was like anything that I didn't like fully spark joy for me because I tend to overbuy linens.
Yeah.
Just because I want to get my bed right.
It feels good to get rid of shit.
Oh, God. That's my, it's my new, I'm loving it.
But is there a backlash against her? I saw people on Twitter
just
kind of.
Just people are like, I don't know. I guess there's like book. People got very defensive about the book thing, which is like she's, you know, she does a whole getting rid of books thing.
I had like a small, I had like a kind of violent reaction to that. That seemed dumb. Yeah. I love having books around.
I agree. I like it aesthetically.
I think that's a blind spot for her.
Yeah.
Where she's like, she's confused about that.
I also mean, think like, that like we all do have like at least 5 or 6 that are just like, you know, kicking around. I have like 20 books upstairs that like don't really mean a whole lot to me.
Yeah. That's all she was really saying. Is, like, yeah. They don't really
I think it was
spark
the specificity
anything.
Of like you, ha- Joy, you, yeah. have, you need 30 books. Or less.
Oh,
what she
yeah.
said, right?
Is that what she said?
I think it was 30.
Well, the thing that I think is really fucking undervalued on this whole plan is the paper. Mm. Getting the paper out of your house. Because we all have so much paper.
Yeah.
Every month, my bank people send me like a fucking fat ass envelope that has like my investments or whatever in it. And it's like literally pages of pie charts that all add up to mean the same thing that
can
happens
you,
on the front page.
Can you ask for a digital copy?
That like now I can, but when I was with my guy, just switched to different companies, and so and I'm obsessed with him. If you guys ever need
he's from Boston, right?
Financial wealth management guy in Boston. He's unbelievable. Sean, what's up? But
that's so crazy. His name is Sean, and he's from Boston.
I know, and it's actually his name's Sean Morrow, which is close to Mario, right? I'm fucking loving it.
Morrow, is it? How's it spelled?
M-A-U-R-O, Morrow.
Yeah, there's one different.
I know. And like, it's weird. And my mom's name is Shauna. Like, it's just all a lot. It's like the stars are too aligned.
Ooh.
But yeah, no, he's great. And I forgot how he got brought up.
Paper.
He told me he can now send me a digital thing, but I have fucking paper for days. I have a whole box of it upstairs. I'm sick of it. I haven't opened mail in 8 years. I have a real fear around mail because I have fears around money and all of the things that come in mail, like people like reaching out to me.
I got a fucked up letter in the mail. A couple months ago, I got this letter that was just like, sorry for you, bro. I was out in North Hollywood the other night, and I know what you're up to. I'm going to tell everybody on your block up and down what's going on if you don't. And it was some dark web Bitcoin thing. And it was just like...
Oh, my God.
And
I showed it to, my letter.
I showed it to Brooke. I showed it to Brooke as soon as she got home. And she just like... because she's smarter... She's just like immediately started laughing.
Right.
Because I was just like, I went through this whole thing where I was like, fuck it, man. I have nothing to hide. I'm not going to pay him. Like, and she was just like, are you fucking dumb? Like, and it was obviously, and then when I realized that it was like, she was like, take some of the language and put it in quotation marks and Google it. And sure enough, it's like this chain.
Right.
Then we started thinking about all the people who have secrets. You send out enough of those letters, like someone's going to bite and pay, like his name was like Dark Fantasy 289 or something. You know,
right.
Like, he's gonna
it's actually
get
a
paid.
Great scam.
Well, yeah, no, it's a perfect scam. It's very Black Mirror. It's very Shut Up and Dance, which, like, did you see that episode?
Which one was that?
Shut Up and Dance was the kid, the pedophile, who, like, basically went on a scavenger hunt.
He, like, robbed a bank.
Oh,
he robbed a bank. It's, like, the best episode ever. I had to Reddit it to understand what the ending was because I didn't fully understand, which is rare for me. By the way, if you ever really want to torture yourself, go to the Black Mirror Reddit. It's literally just people restating the same point over and over again. You never get to the next level of conversation. But yeah, like those letters are so manipulative. And I think that they said that's like what they say with like Pizzagate is that they always say that like the government is constantly collecting video on you. So and a lot of these people who believe in like bigger picture Hollywood pedophile conspiracies or whatever, they're like, they are constantly taking video of you and putting you in precarious situations that can be used against you at any point. And so like there's planted ideas out there that could or are probably not true.
I mean, just no. It's like
they instill a paranoia.
That's I mean, we're probably all on the same page here. And it's like people are either sinister or they lack critical thinking skills and or they're fucking dumb.
Yeah.
Like Pizzagate's stupid. But the people that are so upsetting to take in are like that Matt Gaetz fuckface the other day. I don't know if you guys saw this guy, this congressman talking about how in order to stop gun violence, we need to build a wall.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, you know, you can look at all the mass shooters. They're not immigrants.
They're from you.
And so you're watching in real time someone being sinister. I don't know.
Well, see, that's what freaks me out. It makes me believe, yeah, maybe there is some motherfucker out there that's like manipulating situations with video so that if they ever do want to blackmail you, they can.
What do you call that when you take a celebrity's face and you put it?
Deepfake. Yeah, deepfakes are big.
There's a lot of deepfakes, right?
Yeah, and so, and you could probably even do that with common humans, which is what a lot of people were saying about the Facebook 10-year challenge thing, is that they were trying to show, like, age progression and face. And, like, you could probably very easily create deepfakes where someone is robbing, you know, a bank or participating in some sort of sexual act.
Yeah, we're probably headed there. I just was so dismissive of conspiracy theories, but that one about Facebook collecting facial data and aging data and what that looks like, that one kind of gave me pause.
Because they're bad dudes. They are bad dudes. Like, Facebook, I don't even think I'm ready to accept, like, how bad... Bad dudes. That's why the game is called Bad Dudes.
I kind of... I get a bad feeling when I look at a picture of Mark Zuckerberg. I get...
So uneasy.
It doesn't feel great.
And, like, also what we already know combined with, like, that is just scratching the surface. It's like when you find, like, a fucking lipstick in your dad's car, like that's just you're scratching the surface of the lies, you know what I mean? Cambridge Analytica was like a pretty big piece of info, like all of that stuff, and Congress was also a pretty big thing, and like it just
are you guys on Facebook?
I have to have one. I think I also am weird about it because I've been on it since its first year of existing. Like I went to one of the first six schools, so like I was on
Facebook.
Oh, yeah,
you were there. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, I definitely am, like, I'm, like, I can't delete my Facebook. Like,
it has, like, photo albums and stuff like that.
Yeah. And also just, like, there's a pride in, like, dude, same with my Twitter. I'm, like, I was in one of the first 12,000 users. Like, there's a pride for that for me. I'm never deleting that shit. But I don't go on it anymore. It makes me really, like, I don't update. I don't even, like, forward Instagram.
I feel sensitive to it. I wish I was tougher about it. And then I wish I could shrug off seeing things that I don't like, but it got to me and I had to delete it.
Mine's too non-committal. Like I don't really have a lot of people going really radical on the political stuff. And I feel like because I enjoy challenging myself with like Reddits and stuff like that are really like sexist or whatever, like, I really challenge myself with that because I'm like, I want to know what other people are thinking. But when it comes down to Facebook, I never really got anyone who is like super into an MLM like Herbalife or, Thrive or any of those things, which is something that would have really appealed to me. Like watching someone I went to high school with spiral out with an MLM. Or even just like seeing someone from my high school go like full Roseanne. That would have been interesting to me. But nothing like that was happening on my Facebook. It was just a constant failing of like dis-ease, like lack of ease, no ease, like gross.
Yeah.
Wait, so let's move on from cybersecurity to something a little bit more light and fluffy. Dan, you know Kim Kardashian West.
Yeah.
We're familiar. Have you ever met Kim?
Yeah.
What was it like?
She didn't look at me. Chloe was nice. Kim didn't look at me. But they guest hosted Chelsea lately.
Yeah. Dan worked on Chelsea for a long time.
And we did a handful of sketches with them.
They seem available.
Yeah, it was before their, I mean, they were always sort of rising up and up and up. But I think their mom made it do it. I think, you know, because we were on the same network.
Yeah.
It behooved them to do it. But they seemed to hate Chelsea so much. And
really?
It didn't have a friendly vibe.
Really? I always assumed that was, oh, and that's interesting too. Heather McDonald is really good friends with Chris, right? Or was, or something. I think she was taken off the Christmas party list, but.
Heather was?
I think so.
How come?
Well, they did a mass like cleansing of like the Christmas party list, like on TV last year. And they just like, they were like, mom's got 500 people a year coming to this thing. And they narrowed it down to like 120. So, and I think I heard on her podcast her say that she was part of like the
Purge.
Yeah. The Purge. By the way, my favorite movies.
Oh, I love Frank Grillo.
Who's that?
He's an actor, right?
He's in those Purge movies.
Oh, really? I don't know anyone.
He's great. He's this, we've met him a couple times and at Chelsea's, and he's this Italian guy he's like, I fucking love my kids so much. If I come home from doing a movie, I just can't help myself. I'll just take them to Toys R Us and they can throw whatever they want in the cart. And I just...
Oh, I love that.
Oh, yeah. He's fucking cool.
That just like right away, that pulls up a feeling for me for sure. And he's in all of the Purge movies?
He's in a couple.
Yeah, because I don't... Oh. Oh, yeah. Okay. See, I'm pretty like... I only know like Danny DeVito and Lindsay Lohan. Like I really don't know many famous people.
So looking at his face right there, you don't recognize him?
Oh, this guy, I know who he is. He looks familiar.
He's been in a
lot
of things.
But like he also is someone that I'm like, did I work with him in like a post-production house in like 2007? Like I could know him from that too, you know? Like, but he is that, I so know that like good guy dad that's just like,
yeah, he's got a real warm vibe.
I fucking love my kids, man. Like, I love that. I love that.
Gotta do it for the kids, man.
So we're gonna, I got two of Kim Kardashian West's perfumes, and because I would like to write them off, just kidding, probably not, but maybe, I would like to do a sampling of them on air. Right. So I think that before we start, we should start with Baby Girl. Do you remember smelling Kim? Do you remember her smell? In the environment?
No, not at all.
Because she said on, I believe it was like Fallon or something this week, that she actually likes to just soak her Spanx and underwear in her perfume. That's the way she puts it on, so that she smells good from the inside out. That's how she described it. Now, to me, that sounded incredibly pungent. And I have met a certain, like, you know, sometimes real big stars, they just like to power move you with the perfume.
Yeah.
So this is Baby Girl. She seems light. I think we should start with this, and then maybe we'll do a palate cleanse and after a couple calls, and then try Batty.
I don't hate this, but it seems like something. It seems like something like a teenager would wear.
It feels like a little like Twinkie 14-year-old.
A little Bath and Body Works.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So this is like part of the whole Candy Hearts collection.
But it is Baby Girl, so.
She allegedly stole.
Yeah, she's telling you what it is and maybe who it's for.
Batty, you know, Batty was what she was wearing on Fallon. Flirty moods, flirty vibes, I think. So we'll smell Batty in a little bit. But right now, I think we should start to take our calls. We have some kind of deeper ones.
Christina, I would be, by the way, I would be disappointed if my wife wore that.
You would.
And she and she wouldn't. And I think she
no,
wears
Brooke
it.
Would never wear this. No. She's too sophisticated for this. This she is finds, something that like I'll give to my cousin.
How old is your cousin?
It's more like, who is my cousin? Do you know what I mean? Like, got she's it. A hairstylist in Texas who has a cat named Chanel. Like, she will love.
She'll appreciate that.
Yeah, no. Even just the packaging, this will be displayed prominently. You know who would love this too? Martha. My cleaning lady could give this to Amber, her daughter. Amber has my birthday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You love your cleaning lady?
Martha, yeah. She's like one of my favorite people. She's Wags' best friend. I think about Martha probably the fifth most event anyone in my life, maybe even fourth. I think about Martha a lot. And she does a lot for me. All right.
Our cleaning lady asked me if I was going to Costco anytime soon. And I was like, no. And she said, oh, because I really want one of those rotisserie chickens they have. And so I went and got her one.
Yeah.
And it really wasn't part of my plan that day.
Part of your agenda whatsoever.
No, but we love Anna.
Yeah. I ordered Martha Kylie lip kits because I found out she was buying them bootleg downtown. And I was like, do you know that they like literally put dog piss in that? Like, don't ever. And she's like, next time they go on sale, will you buy them? And I was like, yes. So I ordered them all for her.
That's nice.
And I gave her my old ones that, for honestly, they're not for Irish girls. I've said this many times. They're racist against Irish girls over at Kylie Cosmetics. Let's take our calls.
Hey, Malls, Christina and guest. I have a question about living with people. And if the answer is that I'm just being a selfish bitch, then please roast the shit out of me. My issue is that I live with two other girls. And my one roommate is currently in a job that she's unhappy with, and she comes home from work every day, and I have to listen to her complain about her job for 45 minutes or longer. I mean, it monopolizes her conversation pretty much. And it's like, I understand that she's struggling with this and it's stressful for her, but I just don't want to listen to it. And my other roommate, you know, she'll come home from work and I'll be like, hey, girl, how was work today? And she's like, you know, it was good or it was bad. And she'll tell me like a quick 5-minute story. And that's always how it's been for me as well. But my one roommate, who is also a good friend of mine, she just complains about work a lot. And previously, I lived with my ex, and he would do the same thing, and I kind of, like, sucked it up because he was a person I was in a relationship with, but it was the same situation. Like, it just drove me nuts to have to listen to, and my question is that just, like, a part of, you know, when you have a friend or you have a significant other and they're dealing with work shit, I just gotta let her rant? Or is there a polite way for me to be like, hey, I'm sorry that you're going through this, but I can't like hear all this out while we eat dinner, like, you know, find a new job or find another outlet for it. I don't know. I hope my question makes sense, and I hope the answer isn't that I'm just being selfish, but please advise. Thank you.
See, I will say I always feel bad when people really think that we're going to go hard on them, because it's always the people that, like, don't deserve it that think that.
Yeah, like, she sounds like really gentle and nice.
Yeah, like, it's the people who call that don't know what's coming that I'm like, oh, you need to fucking hear some shit because you thought this was breezy, but it's not. First of all, Dan and I immediately reacted, and let's move on from this after, like, we'll set this up. Dan and I immediately reacted to the notion that you somehow fucked up your relationship just because you lived with your ex and he vented to you all the time, like, as if it's your job to full-time listen to either a roommate or a boyfriend vent after a certain point, right? About your job.
And the thing that I was really reacting to there was, I think we have a sort of unreasonable spike in stress, like an inordinate amount of stress to mundane things that happen to us, or when we have an unreasonable like response to something kind of like as routine as this, because you sound so anguished and so upset about this, and I think part of you knows that your past is being reenacted, because it was the same problem with someone you cared about in your past, sounded painful, and here you are, it's happening again. And I think that is sort of one part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the other part of it is that, I mean, you have a right to take care of yourself and set boundaries.
Because I do think that she is like reenacting. That's why it's so upsetting to her. But at the same time, there are always going to be unconscious people that ramble and like, especially when you're younger, like you're dealing with, I used to just give such importance and such power to like, just like unhappiness in a job, like where like, as opposed to now, I'd kind of be like, all right, like the day in, day out, like whatever, you got to survive somehow. Probably wouldn't talk about it in all my free time. But like when I was younger, like it was almost like I was still like a continuation of high school and college, where my world just felt really small and I hadn't figured out yet that like, so I actually fully understand that this girl might just be annoying and your ex might be annoying. And those are similar personality traits, right? There's plenty of people out there that.
Who are oblivious.
Yes.
And yeah, that's not uncommon to meet annoying people who don't even realize they're being annoying. But I do think your response to it is
pretty intense. Sounds anguished for sure. She feels like she's being pelted. Like it's a little bit like she's just continuously being pushed
to the point where she's like wondering if she's even can have empathy anymore, or like it seemed like she was questioning her ability to like relate to people.
And so I've always pulled myself, and this is why I want to hear from you too. And I was like, oh, this is good for you at first, because I learned something interesting about you at dinner last week, which is that you've never lived alone. And Christina, I don't think you've ever lived alone, have you?
No, not yet.
And my friend Ed, who we were having dinner with, also had never lived alone until 35. I lived with people in college for 4 years, like never my friends though. I lived in like a boarding house, like right off campus, like a block away. And so it was like very like impersonal actually. But I still hated it. And I knew when I never had to share a room with someone. And I knew that when I got out of college that like my college boyfriend followed me out here, but I hated the place I stayed in the interim, where granted I was staying in one bedroom in a frat house with 32 guys and there was 5 Irish women sharing the room with me when there was only supposed to be one. And so that was like a lot. Then my college boyfriend moved in with me and that was an unhealthy relationship. So I can't really gauge what that would have been like. But I've always lived alone because frankly, like that thing you describe is my nightmare. I'm avoidant of it. And I really like when I really, really love someone, I can spend a lot of time with them, but that I would be avoidant towards, like, just because it's my being picked at is my biggest pet peeve. I hate feeling like picked on or picked at.
And don't you think we should make clear that she's not a bad person?
Not at all. Oh, I actually, yeah. If anything, I'm like, I feel bad for her because I feel like that's how I would feel in that situation, where I'd be like, why is one person cool and gets like sort of the shorthand and isn't emotional? Like in my personality in this situation, and I actually don't think that this person might be much different, would be to try and then escalate it to the point where I tried to help that person. And like, I'd be like, let's get ahead of this. Let's set some action goals for you. If you hate your job, how are we going to, and I would start to like Capricorn that shit. And I'd be like, okay, we got to get this going. So you have for your 5-year plan, like ultimately you want to move to transition to this field. What's the first step to get you out of your job? How can we start applying you to this? Like, that is exactly what I have done to people. That is what I would want to do in this situation, because my only way to separate dealing with hearing that information would be to fix it myself for that person. That's how, like, I deal with being tired of something.
Yeah.
So I want to hear from you guys, because I obviously am not qualified here at all. Less qualified than usual.
Yeah. I mean, there does come to a point where you can just stop asking people how their days are going if it's really, like, stressing you out. I don't know. I have a very, like, I have a roommate, but we respect each other's space, you know? And we also have different schedules, so I don't run into him too much.
I thought it was odd that she was, I think she seemed to insinuate they eat dinner together every night.
Yeah, or something like that.
Which I thought was kind of unusual.
Yeah, I think it's okay to avoid people too. I mean, it's like kind of awkward if you're living.
If you're sharing a kitchen and you do get a home around the same time, yes, you can bring your pizza back to your room every night, but that also creates an unhealthy behavior, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think, I don't know, what's the worst that can happen if you try to help her first, because she seems to be someone you care about. And I think maybe trick her and, like, just redirect the conversation. Maybe try something as simple as that, because that could go a long way to just fucking change the subject sometimes. I think, like, gorillas do that with their offspring. And I do that with my kids.
Bitch, gorillas do it, okay? It works. That makes total sense.
Yeah, and also, like, maybe just wait. If nothing improves, maybe if you can, you might need a different living situation. And whenever there's sort of a line in the sand where the lease is going to be up and you have the means to get a different living situation, maybe that's where you could be a little more aggressive with, you know, telling her the truth, which is that you can only take so much.
Yeah.
Maybe if you want to fuck around and have a little fun, maybe you can pick something to be obsessed with. You know, maybe you can literally just start doing, like, what I do with Jody Sweetin or something, and just bring something up. Share how, like, obsessed you are with something equally passionately, and just fucking drive the conversation and just literally just, like, unleash on this person the way she does a better job, but about you're the Masked Singer, another great show.
Yeah, I was gonna say, or you can, like, alternatively flip that and be like, you know what, I'm trying to, like, see the positivity in things. Tell me something good that happened in your day.
The rose and the thorn.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, if someone said that to me, I would be like, I see what you're doing and I'm not interested.
Yeah, but you're a little quicker on the uptake than I think most people are.
That sounds like this girl's mad unconscious. Yeah. Like, that's the thing, is like, when I really fully started to tap into the idea of, like, being conscious versus unconscious, letting your ego run your life versus not, you can't help but see it in other people. And it doesn't mean that you're, like, cured or can diagnose it or whatever, but when you start to check yourself on it and you realize in other people, oh my God, like, they are so spun out, like, this is so detached from reality.
That's it. Your past is dictating a reality.
Yeah.
That's not a reality.
Yeah.
Because you're stuck in it.
Yeah. And so I think, that's real. Yeah. So I think in a way, like, you might want to kind of look into some of that work, because not only will it sort of enlighten you, but it will also enlighten you to other, sometimes why other people do rail.
Yeah.
And then maybe separate yourself from it or have compassion for it. Like, finding empathy and compassion, I think, is like, and then just like being able to detach from it a little bit is, I think, the goal for me at this point in my life. Like, I used to really be happy settling in a place of pity for someone, but that's really dark. And, like, past that is empathy. So, like, I really, like,
and I think,
know,
that was our first instinct, is that she should try and help her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but not at your own expense at any point. Like, at a certain point, because I will say, when you try and get someone to invest in their future and they don't do it, you can wind up creating a bigger problem of resentment. Where you're like, why won't you fucking fix your life, bitch? And it's like, maybe she's just not ready.
I think, yeah, and I might be repeating myself, but you have a right to set boundaries. And that's a way of taking care of yourself. You don't have to, like, you sounded to me like you didn't even have a right to try and change the subject.
She's not,
and to put up with it. And that's why I said I mentioned boundaries before, is what's the worst that can happen if you just try to like set some boundaries about what you're able to listen to every day.
Tension in the kitchen, maybe, but like for the
she might have an aha moment and be like, oh my God. Fuck, like I'm sorry.
Yeah. And like, I'm like, worst that could happen is literally tension in the kitchen. Like that's, and like, that's okay. Like, I don't mind. I never minded in college. Like when we were all sort of like arguing about something within the house, like never minded being like, okay, I'm just going to like grab my fucking Hot Pocket and go back to my room. And like Degrassi, The Next Generation is like running right now live. I'll be watching that.
I think there's two other points that I want to think that might be going on here is like, one, sometimes we function for other people as like emotional dumpsters, and we get into the habit of just being someone's emotional dumpster.
Oh, I think that I did that for you, for like, you did that for me for a lot of our 20s. Like, you've always been such a grounding person and a sounding board that like, I've always felt that I can come to you with stuff in a different way. Like, you've always been like a mom to me in a weird way. Like, I can come to you with stuff that like I don't necessarily expect different other friends to understand.
Right. But I've never looked at that as like, oh, I have to take it because I'm the receptacle for this.
Truly.
It's been more of like, we have a transactional.
You're right.
It's
you've like, never it's treated interactional. Me like that either.
It's never been like, you've taken on some of my stuff too. It's like, it's beneficial. It's a two-way partnership versus.
I knew
like,
you were freaking out this week.
I know, at a moment. Your like private moment. You were having a private moment.
We should tell the audience the private moment after, because it's please advise related. But keep going. Sorry.
And the other thing is that I think sometimes when we get into very comfortable places with people, we don't fake it, and so oftentimes what happens is that they get the worst of us.
Yeah,
because we don't fake. There's something about, you know, smiling or like.
Fuck a fake smile, Ariana Grande. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's fuck just, a fake smile.
You know, you drop that guard of like everything's okay, and so like I can be my real self around this person, but that doesn't mean being a miserable person just because you are suffering.
Misery loves company, man. I don't know. I feel you. You're good.
There's a little bit of effort you have to put into a relationship when you're, you know, it's just like this person gets all of me, but like not all the bad parts. Remember to like give them the good parts too.
Yeah. Her roommate should fucking listen to this episode is what should happen.
Can you play this?
It's just,
for
can
your
you just
roommate?
Play the like shortcut, send her a link, be like, check this out, girl. Do you want to take our next call?
Yeah, I think that'd be
I
wise.
Feel like I'm ready to move on to a new emotional issue.
Get ready.
Hey, Malls, Wags, and Guest. I'm in a hotel in Austin, Texas. So that's, you know, a place that you like, and I can't get out of bed because I don't want to. I mean, I probably will. So I've been with my husband for 14 years, and he, the other day, chose to tell me he doesn't think he's in love with me anymore. So I get the difference between like ebb and flow of a relationship and being in love and love, just love, loving someone and being in a marriage. And we don't have kids or shit like that. It's just us. But it really hurt me a lot, and I took a lot of Ativan, and now, you know, I know how to not kill myself. Even though that would have been nicer, I'm not gonna do that. So I think he's going through a time, and I just don't know if the end of that time includes me, and that sucks. And I have really nice friends who gave me their free points to bring me to Austin. And I just said, fuck everything to my job. I was like, oh, I can't be there, which is great that I have that job. So what do I do? Like, right now, my decision is, do I go swimming or finish my coffee? That's like fun, but it's not fun. Um, Yeah. My question, I guess, is like, what do you do when... You don't think... I still want to be with this person. And he doesn't know. Every time I ask him, he doesn't know. And I feel like... I want to tear my insides out and feel it. And then... be a new horrible person. Is that an option?
Okay, everyone tag yourself. I'm wanting to kill yourself, but knowing that you'll never do it. No, Christina said at one point that she wanted to cut that out. I will say that I think we should keep it in because that's a feeling that I want to honor, honestly, and recognize. And also, we'll take a break right here so Christina and Post can say some number for a suicide hotline, just because I feel like we should do that.
The number for the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline is 1-800-273-8255. That's 1-800-273-8255. Or you can text the crisis text line by texting CONNECT to 741-741. That's texting CONNECT to 741-741.
Okay. But all of that said, I want to say that I can hear, cause you're in a lot of pain and like you're definitely like trying to make light of it and mask it, which I understand as a defense mechanism.
Yeah.
But the pain that you are feeling is so palpable and so real. And I can feel that big time, and I can't imagine anything more hurtful. And I think most people agree that, like, then someone you love could probably never do something more hurtful to you than tell you that they're out of love with you. It hurts than probably a variety of things. So I'm
especially after being together for a while, you know,
14 like, years. Yeah. So I'm going to turn the mic over to anyone else. but yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm so sorry. Right.
Right.
That's like, it's so awful. And I actually think it's sort of really impressive and admirable and kind of like an amazing gift and an amazing place to find yourself in, that you're so in touch with
her self-preservation is right there, man. That self-preservation is ready to kick in, but she's in the throes of it. Like, she's literally calling us from what I assume is the place she's crashing because she just heard this.
Yeah.
And, like, she's already on the phone reaching out.
Yeah. I think it seems illogical, but as awful as it is, I feel like you're in as good a place as you can be. Truly. For what is a horrible and awful situation, because I think a lot of people every day, and then in response to something that's so acutely painful, I think everybody's impulse is to avoid pain, and you sort of hinted at ways you could do that, but it seems like you're right there in it, and I think that's a good thing.
I don't have a problem with a quick Ativan bomb after life-changing information. When you look back on those interviews of Patsy Ramsey, she's zanned out of her mind, and we never talked about that. We always were like, she seems weird, but like now looking back, it's like, oh, those are benzos. Now we know what those are called. I don't have a problem with you taking a couple Ativan and sitting by a pool, obviously not swimming after dark.
It's okay to take the teeth out of the bite, so to speak, for sure.
100%. And like, I'm just impressed by how like you have like your literal wits about you, that you are trying to make jokes and see the light in this, and like also know that like you probably don't need to do that with us, but like you could be very vulnerable and not have to like sort of mask, but I think that that's how you deal.
Yeah,
which makes me feel like you're right. You're gonna be on the other side of a year and a half. I am like so excited for you, because I can tell you have this spirit and this drive. You don't have kids. You can move on as cleanly as possible. I will suggest if you want to move forward with divorce, try and do as much of it outside of lawyers as possible.
Yeah.
So that you can start your life up again. People get really caught up in that, especially when there's hurt.
Yeah.
And sometimes it can be like really easy to forget that you're paying $500 an hour to sort this out and you both just want to move on.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But you deserve, like, you deserve the best. You know, I really do feel like you're a good person.
Yeah.
And like you have, I do love Austin, Texas. You're right.
Yeah. I'm sorry that you're feeling so much pain right now, and it looks like you're adjusting a little bit accordingly in terms of, like, I don't know what to do right now. I don't know if I should drink coffee or go swimming. And if, like, that's the short time period you can, like, look forward to, like, get through your day, then, like, that's how you need to pace out your day.
Even if you're joking about it, the fact that you can even think to joke about that is, like, a good thing.
Yeah.
There are a lot of people.
She's, like, in it right now.
Yeah, you're in it, but, like, you're – like, I expect, like, you know, there to be 6 months of heavy spending, over drinking, and being frivolous and doing stuff like that.
Yeah, and sitting in the pain.
Yeah.
And being a little messy, like.
There's going to be, and really, like, all that. And just the more you can honor, like, dude, you're fucking, like, I have a really good feeling about you and, like, how you're going to turn out on the other end of this. There's other people, when they call, I'm like, that's going to take 5-6 years before they even learn who they are. It sounds like you know who you are, which is cool.
Yeah. I it's funny that I had the same exact response where you know, on the other side of something so sad and painful is you don't realize that there is vitality on the other side.
Yeah.
Like you will wake up one day, and that, for some reason, I couldn't begin to explain why, but for some reason, that's really evident in your voice.
100%. You sound like you're a winner. And, like, please call us back, 323-450-7408. I feel like you're someone that we will all want to keep up with and that you're someone that we want to keep talking to.
Yeah.
Maybe we can even do, like, a live call back with you or something and talk to you IRL about where you're at in a few months. But, yeah. If you guys do decide to go the divorce route, ultimately, for sure, just do me that one favor and, like, keep those lawyer bills as low as possible. You have the rest of your life to earn money. Like, get in and out and go start your life. Get your new apartment. Make it cute.
It seems like she has a good support system, but I also hope she gets, like, therapy, too, in terms of, like, dealing with this. Because
she sounds like she will.
Yeah.
I mean, look at how quickly, like, literally, she's, like, at her hotel, like, probably 48 hours after this happened, picking up and calling us. Like, granted, we're probably easier to reach out to than a close friend or a therapist in some ways for certain types of people. But, like,
I also, I also think, as awful as it is, there's worse things than someone being straight with you. Because I think there's a lot of other... there's a lot of other bullshit that can happen in place of that.
Yeah, I mean, I have a family member that, like, their husband had a second family.
It was
cray-cray. Like, you know?
And so it kind of sounds like your eyes are wide open, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so fresh. I feel
and, like,
so
if you had been married for 14 years without kids, part of me tells me that you're, like, an adventure-seeking person. And, like, that might – it's, like, the way you said we don't have kids was very, like, we didn't want them. And that's fine. That's great. Like, I feel like you're an adventure-seeking person, and you're going to go on to your next adventure on the other side of this grief.
Yeah, it's kind of like, yeah, you might have had your life planned, your life planned with this person, but...
I feel like she'd get a hot guy.
There's a whole different possibility now that you could have, a whole different life you could have.
I feel like there's hot guys.
So maybe focus on that, of, like, you know what? If there was something missing or something you wanted to do, like, this is the time to build, like, a whole new future for yourself.
Yeah. Love you, girl.
But you got a lot of tough work ahead. I'm sorry.
Let's take another phone call.
Yep.
Okay.
Hey, Malls, Christina, and guests. I am calling with both an update and another question to see if you guys could try and tackle something else for me since you helped me so much before. So I called a couple of years ago when I was trying to get into grad school. I was working at a department store, and I didn't get a good enough grade to get into grad school on my admissions test. And Malls, you gave me really great advice. You said, if I wanted to make it happen, then I would make it happen, which was something that hadn't occurred to me, as obvious as it sounds, and it was something that I needed to hear. and it really pushed me. And I took the test again and I got an amazing score because I studied really hard and I made sure that I didn't give myself room to fail. So now fast forward to this May, I'm going to be graduating with my master's degree in a STEM program. I never ever thought that would be a possibility for me, but it happened and it's happening and I'm so excited. And I got a really great job in corporate America, New York City, like a big job. Coming from the suburbs, a small town, even though we are outside of New York City, it's still not something I ever would have thought could have happened for me. So my question for you is about where I'm going now. I've been in a relationship with my boyfriend for about 4.5 years. He's been through everything with me. He's family to me. He's my best friend. We have a really healthy relationship. I'm a very independent person, but he has lifted me up and been through everything with me, and I've been through things with him, and we just, we've been through a lot together, and we have a really strong bond, and I don't see us that going away anytime soon. So my issue now is this new life that I have. I'm going to all these work events and I'm in the city and I'm doing all these things and I'm making a lot more money. Well, he's kind of at home working, a retail job that is, and that's probably all he's ever going to do. He doesn't have a degree. He never really had the opportunity to get these things. He doesn't come from a lot of money and he's never really been shown these opportunities. He never thought this could be possible, and he's never really wanted bigger opportunities. He's very happy with where he is and just making money and getting by, and I'm happy with that too. Like, I'm okay being a breadwinner. I'm okay with him not achieving career success because he's successful in so many other parts of his life. He's a very positive force in my life and lifts me up and makes me a better person. Now the problem is, at these work events, people try to have small talk and ask about, like, oh, what's my relationship like? What does my boyfriend do? And I caught myself lying about what he does to people from one of our big, big clients today because I didn't want to seem like I was from a poor place or, like, in, living kind of a lower life than they expected. I don't know. So my question for you guys is, how do I navigate this new world of these, like, big companies and these big people and this new lifestyle where I'm getting taken out to these, like, nice dinners and working for these big companies, but also living almost a double life in my private life with my boyfriend where we're kind of scraping by and we don't really want a lot or need the glamour or anything. Like, we're pretty happy just, like, living a low-key life. What would you say to that? And should I continue to, like, keep it vague or, like, lie about what my boyfriend does, or should I just be honest and not care? I mean, it's kind of hard because I'm just starting out in my career and I want to put on a good front, but I don't know. What do you guys think? Please advise, and thank you so much.
Wow, I feel bad.
Why?
Because I thought I had my answer. This is a multi-layered problem.
It is, yeah.
In a big way, because my immediate answer was like, girl, you've worked way too hard to be with someone who's very passive in his life. Like, yeah. I feel like that ultimately long-term will hold you down. Then we got to the what a great guy he is and how he's, you know, he is your equal in other ways. And then we got to the lying part. And then
that's like a whole nother issue too.
And then like the reason why you lied, which was so deep in and of itself, yep. Which is like, I don't want people to think that I'm broke and I attract broke men. Wow.
Dan looks like he has.
I had a different take.
Okay.
Before you mentioned your boyfriend, I was really impressed with the grad school story.
100%.
And I was thinking to myself, like, the phrase came to my mind. I said, what a great example you are. Before I even knew that there was someone 100%. Else in your life. Because I was thinking maybe for your kids that, like, maybe one day you'll be like, oh, I made this pivot in my life at one point and look at me.
Because the advice I gave you when you first said it, I was like, oof, I'm tough. And then when you were like, you were right and I did it, you were the right person to receive that advice. Yeah. There are a lot of people that would take that and they would shame themselves further. Or even when I heard it, I was like, you probably could have phrased that more nicely. Yeah. But you were giving me the brass tacks of what I said. And you went for it.
Yeah, and you accomplished it.
Fucking
yeah.
dope, dude.
But like, I didn't have the same reaction. Maybe in similar fashion, you just need to be called out for something. It almost sounds like you're walking the walk and just not talking the talk. Mm. Like, I think, in other words, that's like there's societal constructs. There's these social constructs that are putting pressure on you. You feel shameful that you're the empowered one and the breadwinner and all that. Well, you are.
Yeah.
Like you are. So fucking own it. And he needs to own it too. And don't be ashamed of it. And maybe that's all you need to hear. And maybe it's not so doom and gloom. Maybe you need to be fucking proud of, there's all of this stuff in the zeitgeist right now where the pendulum has swung so far in another direction. And you need to fucking own it.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I love that.
Don't you think? Like,
yeah, because there's nothing wrong with the dynamic. Like, there really isn't. If you're happy with it, there's nothing wrong with it. Like, you are, everything she's doing is right. She's earned it all.
Did I miss something where she said, didn't she say her husband's happy working a retail job?
Yeah, he's fine with it.
It's her boyfriend, but yeah.
Her boyfriend, yeah.
Yeah.
So,
he's fine just like making his life, not like just being able to like live his life.
As long as she doesn't have a problem with it, which it doesn't sound like she does. It looks like more like she's embarrassed about, probably she's perception. Around a lot of power couples. Yeah. And people are, of course, they're less used to being like, oh, she's the one who runs shit. Like societal, like back in the 80s, that would have meant you were like a neutered man or something. Like the way that people used to talk about shit like that. Like Oprah and Stedman or something, Stedman is this trapped man. Well, Stedman had a perfectly great career.
He has his own millions.
Yeah. And so it's very, very possible that you guys like are in a high functioning relationship. It's just about the way that you're phrasing it because of how you feel deep down, like a stigma that you...
You've internalized a lot of societal, it's like an internalized.
I'm saying that's how I feel about money, because of being from a single mom. Like, I always have paranoia around it. And I'm like, I don't want to cheat myself of that. Like, it's true. I do feel that. Like, I understand why you feel that way. Like, you had to, you started from the bottom. You fucking worked your way. Now you're in a room full of important people that exactly walking your walk. You earn to be there, you earn your right to be there.
I almost feel like it's I almost feel like this is the, I don't know, maybe it is the hard part, but you've already accomplished so much and put in so much effort. And I think you just need to own it at this point.
Explain yourself.
I also think it's like, I wonder how old she is, because this seems a little bit like, when you're in your 20s, you're very sensitive to like what people perceive of you, like in my 30s now, I'm just like, okay, I'm good. Like, I'm good with whatever my perception is. Like, if you don't agree with like whatever my shit is, that's on you. That's not about me.
When I graduated, everyone needed to date a guy that also had like a really like high school, it had to be a nice private school degree. Everyone had to be over 6 feet. Everyone had to be projected to make this much, the standards you start out with in the world are fucking insane. And then at the end of the day, when you realize I just have a nice partner, they're a good partner. They bring enough to the table. They don't take more than they give. It's possible that you can have that with him.
Yeah. I mean, I normally don't recommend this book sometimes because it's a little too religious-y for me, but there's a chapter in The Four Agreements that really helped change my perception. It was the one that's don't take everything personally.
Yeah.
But it really just does that person's perception of your success in your relationship. That's all of them and none of you. That's not rooted in anything. Any of your truth. That's all about their perception
and
of how they perceive the world.
A reaction to it. That's whoa, well, that's an opportunity that they've now had to see that this dynamic is possible.
Yeah.
That you're happy in this. Maybe if someone is surprised by that, maybe it's a good thing.
You can actually lean into that and be like, you know what? I love that he's so secure. He's such secure in his manhood or whatever, that he can feel fine in supporting me. And it's actually really nice to have that support.
Yeah, I agree.
It sounds like he's proud of you too.
Yeah. Right?
But how do we back off the lie?
Well, that's, like, I think that's the thing is that's.
But the lie's been told. Like, if she, if this comes up again, what would you do?
That's the thing. It's like, you have to be careful. You, like, you're gonna, I don't know what the situation was exactly. Like, was it a work function? Not, she said it was a client, so she might not be interacting with them often.
I think she was, like, socializing. I think it was, like, but a work cocktail sort of moment.
Yeah, but if it's, like, you guys meet up at a Christmas party for the holiday, for the company holiday party, and your boyfriend is there, what,
just be like, I was kidding, he works at Macy's. Just be like, I was kidding, he works at Macy's.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what you do.
Yeah.
To undo that.
Yeah, it could be more complicated than that. I got the impression for some reason, maybe I'm just hoping, but that it wasn't, like, a...
an elaborate lie.
Yeah, it wasn't, like, her boss or anything like that.
Yeah, but does the boyfriend know that she lied? Because I'd be afraid of that, too. Yeah. Listen, I'm just going to say, this is a good lesson in don't lie. Because it's a hard thing for an honest person to do. Like, I
you think it's like you only say it once, but you actually have to keep it alive.
There
it's
is like a there is a half point. Half the problem here is ooh. Is what his take is. So it's hard to just guess at that. But hopefully he's just proud of her.
I think, like, he is. Yeah. Right. Why wouldn't he be?
I don't know.
Right.
Yeah.
I just am like, oh man, don't lie. Like, because now she has to tell him that she lied, or
there's worse things.
Lies. Like, yeah,
I had such a different response than you. Like, because I think there's she, especially because she responded to your kind of toughness love. The first time.
Yeah,
I think there's worse things than just fucking realizing what's right.
Yeah,
and it sounds like. It sounds like, you know, there's certain people that have, like, this ego strength, which you've already demonstrated, that you could just take it.
Yeah, you know who would fucking rake her across the coals? I'm going to go ahead. Dr. Laura would be like, you have someone, you figured out a way. If you guys have kids, you have one person at home. Dr. Laura would rip you anew. She would love it. Like, literally call Dr. Laura if you liked what I said. Call Dr. Laura.
Did we ever tell you that from that event you went to, that Dr. Laura event, you know,
yeah.
Brooke,
yeah,
took home this Dr. Laura doll.
Yeah, I have the same this, yeah. one too.
And the kids love had such a field day with it to the point where, like, she was just like a torso.
She sent pictures to me and Leslie, like, Dr. Laura could not speak anymore. We went to see Casablanca at the Sherman Oaks Theater for Operation Family Fund, which is like a organization that helped out vets that were not necessarily helped out by the government, whatever. So as part of it, it was $80, which now looking back, not bad. We got like a bag of stuff. And in that bag is a Dr. Laura doll that is on and popping. I have always wanted that doll. I've known of the doll for years. I cannot believe we got that included with the movie ticket that was just watching Casablanca and then like literally an hour and a half long Q&A about the moral themes of the movie.
And it's like, why our six-year-old will sometimes walk around the house and be like, you're just a shack up honey.
You're a shack up like honey.
Repeating all these Dr. Laura phrases.
I love that.
That is
by
incredible.
The way, if this caller is not married, she is a shack up honey.
Oh, honey, you're a shack up honey.
So maybe Dr. don't
Laura,
call
yeah,
her.
I would leave that out. Wait, but actually in honor of you, because I do appreciate you, we're going to sample Kim Kardashian West baddie, okay? Because you're a baddie girl, even though, you know, you lied. Even baddies got to lie, you know? So let's... This is the one that she was wearing when she was on Fallon. This is more like, I think her, like, her attempt at, like, an oaky, musky scent, which I enjoy that in a scent. I enjoy a musk as much as I hate to say that. Do you feel like a baddie? That one feels slightly more.
Like,
you like baddie?
Yeah.
It's slightly more sophisticated. I just want to say baddie a lot.
I just want to see how it reacts to my body.
Yeah. Well, you need to spray it on your spanks. Like, no, you don't, honey. I don't. I bought these with my own fucking money.
They both smell.
They're not. They're
cheap.
Not. They're not listening.
They smell
to
cheap.
This.
They both smell cheap. Like,
yeah,
no,
cheap.
I mean, really actually, now in. You've gotten me a tax write-off, honey, because we've thrown Kim Kardashian under the bus. Now I can write these off. Yeah, I will say that the packaging is somewhat
affordable.
Sturdy.
Affordable.
It's $33, okay?
By the way, I don't like, Kim Kardashian's doing good things.
Oh, no.
Like,
We're just talking about the product.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Anytime a celebrity puts their name on something, they can come under fire by my standards. I'm waiting on my Ariana Grande cloud samples. I ordered Kelly, who's in the last episode, I ordered her a cloud sample.
What does that mean?
Cloud is her third perfume.
Okay.
Through Ulta Beauty. And I ordered the limited edition roller that comes with a cloud top. Ari loves clouds.
Yes.
Like, what is also with that? Like, the clouds I get a little bit more because it's an aesthetically pleasing thing. But she does that one gray emoji on everything. It's like a gray square emoji. And I'm like, first of all, why'd they make that emoji? Secondly, what does this mean, Ari? Like, what does the gray square emoji sort of
almost... Does she put it, like, in her Insta comments?
Literally look on any tweet. She, like, does this gray thing and then in a heart. But, like, if they were overlapped, maybe if that was a background, that would make sense to me. I cannot make sense of why this emoji exists. And, in fact, I thought maybe she had her own sort of secret leak of emojis for a while.
Sorry, I got stuck into this article that's like, Ariana Grande was struck by a hockey puck twice by the age of 5.
Yeah, I read that. I know. In fact, tell me a fact I don't know.
She's really small, right? Doesn't it?
Super teeny. Seems like... She's 5'2". Yeah, well, I think when you're it's a horrible. Kid and you go to, first of all, I love that she was the Florida kid who loved indoor hockey, like fucking incredible.
Is she from Florida?
She's from Boca, baby. Yeah. Does that not make sense? Like, she's totally from Boca. Totally.
Oh, yeah. I don't know what that gray emoji is about.
What is that gray square emoji? If you guys know what the gray square emoji is, hit me up in the comments. Let's take another call.
Y'all, I don't even have a question. I just wanted to say, oh my God, I just listened to the episode with you and Max, and you won your fucking money back. Like, I am freaking out. I am so happy for you that you won that back. And the fucking card says that, like, the abundance, I don't even know what it said exactly, but I was like, she's going to get her money somewhere. Somehow this is going to work out. And I was just like, I am freaking out. And then you tried to tip the guy, and I thought that was, like, so nice. And I'm just really happy for you. God, that was so good. I'm sorry. I don't know if anybody else likes those, like, 3-hour episodes, but I fucking live for that shit. And, yeah, just have a good new year.
So, Dan, first of all, I do want to say this is, like, our first spoiler reveal.
Yeah.
So for anyone who hasn't heard that episode yet, I will say thank you so much to everyone who's commented about this without actually spoiling the end of the episode. But Christina left town, like, a month ago, and I accidentally fucking ruined both of our lives for, like, a week because I bought $500 worth of lottery tickets with my friend. And we sat here and we scratched them. And, like, when we started, I was shaking and I, like, literally, like, could barely hold my mic and I, like, wanted to puke. And then by the time we were done with our episode, I was like, okay, now we got to take everything we won and, like, go get more cards. Then we're off mic, right? My friend Max is a fucking meltdown at the liquor store and is like, I want to go home. I don't like this. And I'm like, dude, we are 5 hours into gambling. We're finally not off microphone. What are you freaking out about? He just wanted to leave. So we left and I had a $20 coupon left and I went and I bought 2 more tickets with that. And then I got a free ticket and then I used that free ticket to get another ticket, won another $20. Then I got another free ticket. Point is I won back on mic my $500 5 days after I started it. It was a 5-day journey and I earned my
last ticket. You hear her, like, live on mic scratching the ticket and she's like, oh my God.
And I won every single penny of my fucking money back after it. Like, it shouldn't have happened like that. Like, the guy and I are literally screaming about, like, this is fucking God, man. This is fucking, and, like, the guy at my liquor store, just in case you don't know, he has a fucking hole in his throat. Like, obviously, when I say that man believes in God, I know he does. Like, he had some sort of, like, trachea sort
Do
of,
you
like.
When you win a lottery ticket, first of all, that's fucking great.
Isn't that crazy?
And she's so happy for you.
I, like, don't even think anyone could understand. Like, that's, like, that the fact that you had that reaction makes me so happy because my...
There were a couple people commenting, like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah, because, like, if someone got to the end of that and they were underwhelmed. But, like, I mean, it was in my voice. Like, if you got all the way there, you couldn't miss it, man. Like, I was genuinely... That is so real.
It was 3 hours
It was a 3-hour long episode. Yeah.
It was actually, in reality, it was almost 4 hours of tape that I had to go through.
Because I interviewed my cleaning lady. I interviewed an Australian couple that came to my public storage unit. Max and I did letters. We did a tarot angel card reading. We did like about abundance. We did like, we also scratched over 50
minutes too.
No, 50 like, lottery tickets.
Oh, I was saying there was 50 minutes of it that like did not.
Oh, and we lost 50 minutes of it too, because at one point like there was a whole debacle where his microphone got shut off. So we lost 50 minutes of our episode. And still, so like that was a big editing feat for Christina, yeah. 100%. But if you like a 3-hour long podcast, come over to Mother May Sleep a Podcast, where every week we just had a 4-hour episode with Jennifer Neese. Okay, that's a half a work day. Okay, so. Putting out that long content.
Yeah.
You believe though, gambling is not my vice. You like Vegas. Do you gamble?
We don't have it's like, I can't relate to it at all.
I don't
mind hanging around. We have friends that like it. And, I do like the atmosphere there, and I don't mind hanging out in the background while someone's gambling. And
the way that drinking. I feel about gambling is the way that I feel like other people feel about cocaine, where they're just like, yeah, like I'll be around and like I don't care if everyone in the room's doing it. Whereas I'm like, I don't want to be around that, because I'll just fucking stay. I'll be here till 12 in 3 days from now.
What motivated you to go on that tear?
First of all, I started watching these YouTube videos by this kid named Mr. Beast. He's a 20-year-old in North Carolina that does extreme things with money. And one thing he did was he bought $30,000 worth of lottery tickets. And he didn't win. So I knew I wouldn't win, but I was like also feeling like it was my birthday week and it was Max's birthday week. I wasn't going anywhere for my birthday. I just had like a small dinner with like four people at the Tam O'Shanter in Glendale. And like, it was disgusting. It was the worst meal. I like
you had a salad you didn't like?
No, like everything like literally the good. Wedge salad had ranch on it. But then also like the shrimp came out in full prawns with eyes. Like, and I'm like, I had like long ass nails, and I'm like trying to open up my fucking prawns with like my nails. Like it just was bad. And the food was just bad. So then, yeah, but anyway, I didn't, like, do anything for my birthday, and at one point I was thinking about, okay, like, maybe I'll go to Palm Springs, and, like, a hotel there will be, like, $200 a night or something. So then I sat back, and I thought, maybe I won't. Maybe I'll just spend all the money that I would have spent on doing something for my birthday, doing something for Max's birthday, and let's throw in another $100 for the Please Advise Nation audience. And it rounded up to $500, which is exactly how much it costs for a book of 50 $10 lottery tickets.
You generated some content. You had
oh
a thrill.
Boy, did I generate content. And like, and by the way, like I was prepared to lose all, but like it really, like I learned about gambling that day, because when Max had a meltdown and like wanted to leave, like I sat there knowing that all I had was a $20 ticket that I needed to cash in. My friend was gone. My work was done, but there was no joy in it. And like, I didn't even get to hang out with my friend after. Like I alienated my, or I guess gambling or we, the whole activity alienated my friend unexpectedly. We were gonna like come back and like watch Serial Mom or maybe get steaks or something. And it like derailed the evening. And so I came back and I like texted Christina, cause she was out of town, and I was like, dude, I'm in a low place. Like, I just did this whole thing all day. Gambling is terrible.
I was like, it's okay. Like, I still like.
I know. And I also so like bad. Knew you couldn't do anything. I like wound up calling my friend Troy in Cleveland and being like, dude, Troy, like, I just don't know. Like, Max lives in New York. Like, I know this wasn't his first time finding out about gambling. I was like, I just don't know what made him snap. And I was like, I talked to him about it since. I was like, I didn't know if you had a grinder date. Like, I didn't know what was going on, what the truth was. And I think, honestly, he was just tired because it had been, like, a lot. But, like, it was very...
Did he abandon you at the store?
He, like, when we had $20 left, he was like, I got to go home. And so I, like, was like, okay. And, like, instead of finishing it, we left the store. So in a way, if he hadn't done that, because then I, like, drove him home. And then I was like, do you need anything? He's like, no, no, no. He's like, I'll just call my Lyft. I was like, do you want to come inside and call your Lyft? He's like, no, 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 I got it. And I was like.
Sounds fishy.
Either he hates me now or he's got a like grinder date, or like there's something else that like some, you know, maybe he's about to shit his pants. I don't know.
He give might everyone have been the having like a reaction, and it's just like, I just need to like process, and I need the space. Well,
I was like, maybe it's my toxicity, and I like fully was like, I was like, Max, if this has been toxic for you, I was like, I fully apologize, because I said, this has been toxic for me for the second I started it. I said, this is why I'm like, I was like, now you know where I was 2 hours ago when I couldn't hold my mic because my hands were shaking so bad trying, because like I had $500 on the line, and I knew that at the bare, I knew that realistically I would lose it. Best case scenario, we stood to win $10 million. So like that's a lot of pressure. Then on top of that, I'm running the audio and trying to do letters. And it just was a lot for me. I set myself up.
I'm going out of town again. So I'm like,
I was, no, we're doing long letters with Lewis Peitzman. You guys, if you want to talk to Lewis Peitzman, who was part of the massive BuzzFeed layoffs, by the way. Yeah. So just to, hey, plug that. My friend got laid off at BuzzFeed. He's going to be on. So if you want to write any letters about that, I do think that this would be a great time to talk to him, though, because there's been, that's been such an upset in that like whole online writing world. It's been nonstop,
and
it's
just like the media. That Lewis Peitzman's great.
Lewis Peitzman's incredible, and I don't understand. Question: why the fuck, when everyone, when BuzzFeed is peaking, why are they laying people off?
It's an because the executives are taking too big of a cut.
Right.
That's it.
Like, but like, it makes no sense that they would, like, they just undercut. They had the biggest scoop basically in the world at the moment when they were, had the anonymous guy that was like giving information about Trump or whatever. Right. Then the next week, now all I can think about with BuzzFeed is that they laid off all these employees. I'm not even concentrated on their big scoop. And I don't know if maybe it was done because the scoop wasn't there and there was something, because like the right was giving that guy the reporter from BuzzFeed, they were giving him a lot of shit because he wouldn't give up his sources, right?
Yeah.
Maybe they found out his sources weren't legit and they needed to upset shit. So that could possibly be a reason.
I don't know if it was definitely not, something like that's not tied to like that closely to like the performance of it.
But now I just feel like, now I feel like it's like we got BuzzFeed out of the media in the most positive way it possibly could have had. Mm-hmm. Because like most people still think BuzzFeed is like memes and like listicles and shit like that, right? Yeah. So like it's, I'm stunned that like they would have so much goodwill and then undo it.
So they're actually one of like three companies that had massive layoffs. Like in total, there have been 2,100 people laid off from this.
What was the other big company?
Viacom is the other one, and it was through like I can't remember what the like its subsidiaries that were firing people. But there's a prop. There's something going on in media right now where it's just like it's unsustainable. They're not getting enough advertising revenue from online advertisers.
Tumblr and also did a bunch of like Tumblr downgraded a lot of employees.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised.
Sorry, that's another thing.
Well, I was gonna say like Google, like there's a monopoly on online advertisements, and like so Google can set whatever prices they want for whatever ads they want to sell. Additionally, you do have an inflation in the upper management category that leads to a lot of like executives, and those executives have high price budgets. And so the thing that always baffles me is that when they like lay off people, it's always like the underling people who were creating the content that got you the views, not the people who created the failing strategy. Mm. And that's frustrating as a media person. Like, so, and also just in general, like corporations, you see this with any corporations. It's not like the CFOs that are getting fired for underperforming. They get to like resign gracefully and get an exit package. It's the people who have worked for the company for 10, 15 years that are like, yeah, it's a weird thing that's happening, and I don't remember.
Imagine like the excitement of like building up online journalism, which was happening around the time that we graduated college.
Yeah, I was like, this is gonna be the future of my career.
Everyone was saying that, like, you're on the right track, honey. Like, you know, and like now that if I had stuck with that purely, it would probably be blown up in my face. Like, you really took a sidestep to audio, which was so smart for you because you really enjoy it and have a knack for it. And also, it's going to continue to grow in this space in crazy ways. But
It's just like having another skill set that can keep me floating if there are like no longer full-time jobs. So like I'm still working in media and I'm still doing something. It's just
you have
a completely different.
Well, yeah. That was the great thing in Trigger Warning with Killer Mike. I don't know if you guys saw that on Netflix.
I did, yeah.
But the episode where he kind of says to a bunch of like elementary school kids, he's like, yo, FYI, like you're probably not going to be the president. You're probably not going to do this or that.
You're
like,
going to cure cancer.
You need to learn how to do a trade.
Yeah.
You need to learn how to like change doorknobs. You need to learn how to, and like the episode turns out to be very interesting. But there is something that's missing in our society. And I will say that as a liberal arts educated person, and I did learn how to like edit in Final Cut, but I'm not like super practiced at that stuff anymore. There is something to knowing a skill. Like that was the thing that kept me employed when I was really struggling, was like, I can type 80 words a minute. Like I'm really.
Well, there's something very liberating too about if you can make a living and keep yourself busy, then I do think that frees up a big part of you to be attacking your loftier goals.
Yeah. That's right? Why I brought on the store. Keeps me busy.
I feel like the lottery story shut me down a little bit. I feel like I had like a big reaction to it and like it gave me a lot of anxiety, and that's why I've been quiet for like what feels like 20 minutes.
Well, we're going to actually be wrapping up in a second, but Dan, no, will you come back like more regularly? I would love to. I know that you have a busy life.
I can't believe you'd want me.
Happy life, happy wife. No, I think that you're fantastic. You have to come back anytime. We have guests that are so much more disappointing than you, like Greg, the reg who tried to get me addicted to sports gambling. You know who you are, Greg Lisi. So you should probably take over for him, Greg the Rag.
we always try to have a good cishet man.
We love a good cishet man in the house because everything else really runs the gamut.
Yeah.
Our guest before you was a 21-year-old girl in Florida. Like now we have you.
Did you ask her about Tom Petty?
No.
She's from Gainesville, right?
No, she went to school in Gainesville and she lives in Orlando now. But wait a minute. Either way, though, like I think that would have been so lost on her.
Yeah, I don't know if 21-year-olds really get Tom Petty.
She's so woke, though.
I try to work it into any conversation.
She did like Free Willy, which I was surprised she'd seen that.
I realized that there is a lot of things in white culture that I have no point of reference to, like how popular something was. So like, Tom Petty was huge, or like what
huge.
Level? Like
huge.
Can you give me like a modern day comparison?
He's like a Bob Dylan.
Yeah, he's like on par
he's
with
like Bob Dylan level.
Yes.
Okay.
The certainty with which we have answered.
Yeah, no, because I'm just like okay.
Yeah,
just
Tom
like
Petty.
Look up Tom Petty's Super Bowl performance.
Okay.
He's a great American
songwriter and all around just musician, instruments, like the whole fucking deal. It's like going to see Dolly Parton where it's just like slay.
I can name like five or six Bob Dylan songs. I don't think I can.
Yeah,
saying
if you
went
and if you listened to his Super Bowl performance, you would be like, oh, that one. And
I know that American Girl one from Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot.
He's
You're
the
so
coolest,
bad,
he's the
free falling.
Motherfucker that ever lived. Yeah.
I also have problems with like, who's the guy from Jersey? The boss with
Bruce.
Yeah.
Bruce.
Yeah, Bruce Springsteen.
You know what? Can I tell you something? I don't care about Bruce Springsteen.
You know what? I'm from New Jersey and I like Tom Petty way more.
Bruce Springsteen for me kind of sounds like sandpaper. Actually, I've actually pointed out a few weeks ago that Rod Stewart sounds like a pine cone. I would say that Bruce Springsteen also sounds like a pine cone.
Well, I think the thing that everybody bumps on with Bruce is like, I mean, I'm from the same state, and he started to just pretend he was like a Dust Bowl farmer or something.
Told about him as religion. From you guys' POV, which I don't even know that you guys live in. Like, in the POV of him being,
like... He was, like big for factory workers or something, right? That was, like, his people.
Bruce is amazing. Bruce is, like, totally great.
Flip-flopping on the issues.
Look, I know. I just don't... I don't have any...
No.
I'm
no
still reckoning
with
the pinecone thing, but...
No, we have no problems with Bruce. He's just not our fave. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. Sure.
You want to expand on that? Any other New Jersey thoughts? Anything else you want to say to people out there in New Jersey that might be listening?
Greg Lisi, also from Jersey.
Yeah, we need Greg Lisi.
Greg Lisi is also
the guy
who
tried to get me.
He's a guest that we have regularly.
Yeah. He's our friend's husband that is trying to get me involved in sports gambling.
Like he's trying to foster an addiction?
Yeah, like he just is like tried to get me to gamble. Like I did definitely, I'm not going to say anymore, but he got me into a sports betting website that was for New Jersey only. And I couldn't access my coins. And some things happened. And now let's just say I was given a PayPal refund. But Greg Lisi almost, you know, I really almost lost it all to Greg Lisi's irresponsible behavior.
Here's what I'll say about New Jersey is that people don't realize how beautiful it is.
It is.
The Jersey Shore is...
It's not called the Garden State for nothing.
It's a really cool place to be from. Yeah.
One of my biffles is from Tenafly. No Tenafly?
No. That's the other thing I was going to actually say about New Jersey is that people are constantly making up towns that they're from that I don't even think are real.
Yeah, it's like being from Australia. Like,
what did you say? Tenafly?
Tenafly.
Yeah, that's not real.
It's close to the New York. It's like 20 minutes away from the bridge or whatever.
I'm from Sheet Metal, New Jersey.
Fuck off, dog. The Tenafly Country Club is sick. I've been there. I ate so many cookies in Ryan's mom's basement. Oh my God, you guys, wait a minute. This is so off topic, but I'm just going to throw this out before we wrap this up. My fucking, my sketch comedy group from college, I guess it will be, I don't even want to say, I think maybe like 14 years since I've been with them. They're having a reunion show in April.
Oh, wow.
The whole fucking gang's coming out, hunty. And now I get to be the weird 35-year-old because, like, truly, like, when the alums would show up, you'd be like, yeah. What's up, dog? Like, I remember this man taking me around in a van looking for weed with my friend Griffin. He's like, Molly, you got a song in your voice and a song in your heart. And I was like, wow, that's so, like, so nice. 35-year-old fucking man. Never forgot that compliment. Now I look back, so weird.
Yeah.
I was right to be weirded out. But also, if I drove everyone around for weed, it wouldn't be creepy either. So I'd like to think, you know,
yeah,
time's crazy. I'm so excited to see my fucking shovel babies.
Yeah. You guys are going to perform?
I don't know if they're going to have us perform. I think they are, but like, we've got 4 shows and a brunch from what I understand. So I'm going home for like 6 days. I said to my mom, I'm like, I think I might have like rehearsal or like at least something, but I'm due at 3 shows and a lunch. Like this is a lot. So, and like, you know, it's just going to be getting shitty. Like people are just going to be getting shitty off PBR. So I'm so excited. All right, Boston. All right, New Jersey. All right, Brooklyn. We're going to be signing off right now. Wagon Stuff, where are you from, baby? Hollywood, California. I'll talk to you guys later. Dan, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
All of your informationals that you want shared will be linked in the description of this podcast. So if you like want to know more about Dan, just fucking click on the description. Maybe there'll be links. Maybe there won't. Depends on what he wants. We love you guys so much, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye.
Bye.